from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's special guest, award-winning production designer, artist, and writer, Alan Roderick Jones.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Hudson Thames. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
As I was getting ready to come to the studio today, a funny thing happened. What happened was that I realized that having our guest on our show today is a dream come true. And let me explain that. I had this dream many, many, many years ago, actually maybe a decade and a half or so, where it wasn't a dream like I was sleeping, but when I first moved to Los Angeles and I started getting introduced to people in Hollywood, I had a friend who took me to a producer's house. He was a vice president at Disney or something. And back then, maybe 25, 30 years ago, there wasn't YouTube, and there wasn't a way to watch old films that were no longer on TV and no longer on the big screen. And so there were homes here and there throughout Hollywood where these producers or executives who had access to these films would show these films on these big screens, which now we know as entertainment rooms, but in their homes. And so I would get to go to some of these every once in a while. And the films were great, things that I had never seen before growing up as a kid and all of that. But the best part for me was when the film was over, these older guys would just hang out and talk. And I soon came to find out they were the people who produced or directed or built the sets or danced in it or choreographed it. All of these quote-unquote old-timers, they knew the stuff that made those films happen. And I thought, somebody should capture this. And I always had questions. How did you end up doing this? Or how did this happen? And the answers would fascinate me. And I'd look around saying, doesn't anybody think this is amazing? And because I think there is something inherent in how things were done that we have lost in how things are wonderful now. But there was something different in the days of when all of this started. So, for example, today we may talk about Star Wars, but when we're talking to our guest, he's going to talk about Star Wars on the day that it started and on in the creation of it. A complete gives a soul to something that I think we're needing more of these days. So our guest is Alan Roderick Jones, and so we can't wait to be talking to him and a little later on live music here in the studio with Hudson Thames, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and sitting with me is Mark Leger.
You are, and tonight's one of those nights that we should be on TV, because with that shirt, with our guests here tonight, boy, we're ready
my
to go.
My Mediterranean shirt, T-shirt.
You know, that last line, the soul, really rang true with me, because I even remember
I think when I said it offline.
Growing up.
So the line is, we were on the air. So I said to you, it's an honor having Alan here. He is the soul. He brings soul.
Yes. And that you had suggested that he brings that soul, you know, back into the production, that there was a soul. And that is missing today. We get so many announcements about box office and advertising costs, and it's all about the numbers and the
how
business.
How much money
is
making. Yeah.
And less has the craft been talked about and honored, I think, in the way that it used to be, because it was so magical when it started out. And it's still magical, but it's just, you know, more high tech. And so I'm really excited.
How much money is this going to make? Right. Or something like that.
Well, absolutely.
So here we've got the man himself. He's a multi award-winning production designer, artist, and writer. If we have a chance, we'll get to talk about a movie he's writing. But he is Alan Roderick Jones. Alan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Honored to have you here. And of all the things you said to me before the show started, there was one thing that I thought, that's where the show was going to start. You said something about you put your pen down. What is...
I don't premeditate, or I surround myself with all my books. When I was doing Lord of the Rings for Universal Vivendi for the game, I ended up doing 87 drawings. There was a technical advisor who gave me information on every single location that I should be drawing. But I didn't premeditate when I went into my studio. I just had my books. I had his information, and the pencil goes down, and I follow the pencil. It's it's very strange to say. The pencil seems to have a life of its own that comes from within you. And so you follow the line, and that line leads to something else, and you end up creating. I work very fast, and then you look at the end product, which is like 34 by 24, and you go, wow, how did that happen? You know? And that was the same in doing sets for commercials. I started doing commercials because I never saw my family. I was always away on movies, and I decided that I wanted to be with them. So when I came to America after Star Wars, I had previously been living on a farm in Wales. And when I moved to the farm, I had this conscious change, and people were saying, where's Alan? Oh, he's in a cave in the Himalayas. But in actual fact, I was on my farm milking the cow and growing vegetables. And I
talk
was asked,
about the soul.
Yeah, and I was asked to go and do Papillon over in Jamaica. Left my wife there, who wasn't my wife at that point, and came back and then played around a little. And I could tell you stories of amazing things that happened to me consciously. But then I got the call from John Barry. Hey, Alan, we need you. And I said, well, what are you doing? He said, well, we're doing this sort of sci-fi movie, you know. And I said, oh, come and see us. And I had a beard down here and my long overcoat, cashmere overcoat, my big Trilby hat, and went down to Elstree Studios and saw what they were doing. I said, oh, this looks interesting. I'll come on board.
What was this sort of sci-fi movie?
Huh?
What was the sort of sci-fi movie?
Oh, the sci-fi movie was Star Wars. And, and I went down, and let me tell you the quick story there. So we're packing up the farm. I got my little kids, and our dear friend from America called and said, oh, are you coming down to London? We said, oh, yeah, we're coming down. She said, well, I'm married. I said, well, who are you married to? She said, don't worry, you'll see when you get here. So go down to Chelsea, knock on the door, but who opened the door but George Harrison? And I said, George Harrison? You married George Harrison? And we ended up...
This is Beatles, George Harrison?
So we ended up, and then we were having such a hard time living from here to there. My father, my parents were divorced when I was five, from my mother, my aunts. And finally, they said, well, why don't you come and live with us? So we ended up, while I was doing Star Wars, living with George and Olivia.
Talk about life changes.
And now you know the rest of the story.
And then working on Star Wars, there's so many stories. None of us in, I can honestly tell you, even though we read the script, none of us in the art department really knew what George had up here. And when we saw the film, it was like, oh my God, I didn't know it was going to be like this, because we thought it was a piece of crap at the time. You know? I mean, here I was on the back lot.
You are on radio, right? You know that, right?
Sorry about that.
No, I meant, but George doesn't care at this point.
Anyway, here I was being asked to do draw up the cantina, the garage, dress the Millennium Falcon hangar and the hangar. and all sorts of things. And other people were drawing up other things and the interiors of this and that. And I just stayed in my space. One of the art directors on 2001, which I worked on actually, 2001, just making models, just for a few months. But Harry, opposite my office, in his office there, we would go out lunchtime to the radio shacks and all sorts of record companies and buy dials and dots and things. And
for the set?
So he was making the interior of the panels for the Millennium Falcon in his office and using Letraset, this very thin tape, and putting it on and putting the dials, we found this sort of dial, up on there. And then I had to go on the back lot. I was drawing up the rim of the Millennium Falcon hangar. And the model of the Millennium Falcon arrived from John Dykstra, who was making all the models of the planes and ships here in Hollywood. And the photograph arrived, and in the place of the cockpit was a coffee cup. And I said, oh, my God, that looks great. Why don't we make the cockpit that same shape?
So a coffee cup.
But then when I looked at Ralph McCoury's drawings, he had also drawn it up that sort of shape. You know, he'd done all these original drawings for George. Anyway, I went on the back lot and I found all this junk and I put numbers on it and I told the prop people to clean it. And then on the rim of my drawing, there was numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I said, wherever you see the numbers, just put all that mess up on the rim of the Millennium Falcon. So all that stuff around the rim was junk from the back lot of Elstree Studios.
Wow.
And then I had to draw up the cantina. So I went down and we had two old English fighter planes and they'd all been torn apart. And we used them for all different things, but there were the interiors of these jet engines. And they looked amazing. So I said to John Barry, the production designer, I said, look, John, these would be really good if I took these and made them the interior of the bar. And I'll anodize them gold and silver. And so we got gold and silver plastic pipe, gold and silver. And then if you look at the cantina, you'll know that the interior of the bar is plastic bottle sprayed and the interior jet engines.
I'm going to have to watch it again.
I was going to say.
We watch it at your house with you? Have you seen the movie a couple times, actually? Yeah.
I always want to say one thing to anyone in this business. Make sure your name is on the unit list. A week before I left the film, which was the last week of the film, I said to the production coordinator, my name's not on the unit list. And sure enough, when those credits rolled, name wasn't there. And when it came out the second time, I sent a letter to George, and within 3 days, I got a reply. And they said, Alan, we're going to give you assistant production designer credit. And then when the credit came up, it was assistant to the production designer.
Oh.
So I could have been a PA. So make sure you get your credit. Mm. Make sure you get your name on whatever you do. Mm-hmm. And when I was drawing up all the drawings for Van Helsing, Hulk, and Lord of the Rings for Universal Vivendi, in my contract, I own my original drawings, and all I did was give them prints. So I own all my original drawings. So any artists out there, try and do that.
Wow. Great advice, if possible, in this day and age. That's great. Good on you. And Alan Roderick Jones, we'll be right back with a lot more stories. Looking forward to that. And then a little later on, live music here in the studio again on the show with Hudson Thames. When we come back on the Life Changes Show.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of 4 and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse.
But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Alan Roderick Jones. And Alan has mentioned already a couple of the things that he's been known for. I just like to throw in there that he also designed for Bo Derek's film, Bolero.
And Tarzan.
And what's that?
Tarzan.
And Tarzan, yes. And so those are quite beautiful films, I have to say.
Yeah, I had a good time. And I have two wooden spoons, two worst movies of the year, and I've been involved in two Oscar movies for art direction. So that's fun.
So on all sides of the spectrum.
It's all about the traveling and the locations. I went to some amazing locations with John and Bo Derek.
I'm sure it's, you know, I've only seen clips, but I was inspired today by reading about you that I need to go and see that film as well. So you have this, you're known for putting a high premium on achieving cinematic quality production value. And how does you supposedly can do that? Well, you do that, obviously, but with budgetary constraints. I find it hard to believe that people give you budgetary constraints these days, but they do. So how do you do that?
Well, for example, in the world of commercials, I was doing 35 commercials a year. There were no production designers who were able to draw and sketch and budget like I had been brought up to do when I started in the mid-80s. And it's very important for me to talk to DPs, directors of photography. Mm. I need to understand what they require. And I worked with Vincent Corder, who was Alexander Corder's brother, when I was doing Nicholas and Alexander. That was a long time ago. Sam Spiegel, who had produced Lawrence of Arabia, Dr. Zhivago, so many movies, On the Waterfront. He brought Vincent in, and one day I was drawing up the interior of the Winter Palace, and Vincent leaned over my shoulder, and he said, "Alan, there is nothing without light. And always remember to be a good politician. You say the right thing at the right time and not the wrong thing at the wrong time." Mm. And I found that people don't want to be the master and the apprentice anymore. They just want to be the master. Mm. So few want to do the long run of learning. For example, when you're designing, you can't design without knowing what a lens sees or what the camera is seeing. Mm. You design for the camera. You design for light. In other words, you put jigs and jogs in and all sorts of things in order to create that light. You put depth in the walls. And if you're shooting on a long lens, you really don't need four walls. You just create sections of pieces of walls where the camera can pull back on the lens. And then, so if you're going to start doing this type of work, you have to learn from the beginning. You can't just walk in. And how can you? There's so many designers today who can't even sketch. They have people who do their sketches for them, and they have tear sheets when they go into meetings. For me, that doesn't work. You know, I'm one of the old school. I draw with the pencil. Mm. I draft. I know how to use a computer, but if I really want a three-dimensional image created, then I'll get an assistant who does that, but I'll give them a sketch first.
In your title, actually, we said that you are an artist, and not only are you an artist as in paintings, but you're also, to me, what you're describing is the artist. So when you're creating your work, it's artistry. You're not just executing somebody else's plans, etc. But beyond being an artist, can we say you're also a philosopher, or you experience life differently than others, and I'd love for you to share some of those experiences.
Well, philosophy comes from people who have had an experience of the reality of life. There's an awareness you can have. You're either unaware, and it's all belief and faith, or you are just in a conscious awareness of your oneness and the perfection of creation, because it is just creation. Man creates religions after the fact of a master revealing the truth. The master doesn't write anything. The disciples write it all, and then the confusion starts, and then the breakage up. The master says, if you receive what I have to give, you understand. If you don't, I talk in parables and similes. That, you look at the humanity today and the confusion and the wars. I mean, we're a nation of warmongers, and yet perfection exists on this planet, and that perfection is within every single breath you breathe. You come into this life on the first breath and you leave on that last breath. How beautiful while you're here. Just when you awake, take a conscious breath, look at life and say, thank you. Thank you for this perfection of creation. Mm. And I'll say this now. I had this experience where I was shown and I was out of the body looking at the earth. And this beautiful voice said to me, remember that you chose to come this time. Mm. In order to experience the magnificence and the perfection of creation, knowing that that which creates life you are, and that which is life you are one. There's no separation between creation and you. A fish doesn't say, where is the ocean? Mm. And yet the molecular structure of the ocean is combined with the fish. And we are permeated by this infinite, eternal source of life, which we call God. We can give it many names, but in actual fact, it's a place of experience where there are no names. You just become the I am. And even by saying you I am, you're not. Mm. So you have to live in that experience of oneness. You and creation are one. One being being one.
And that's our show. Wow. And you came to this at a very early age, right?
I was 32. I had just finished a film called Young Winston. I met a young man called Prem Rawat, who was 13 at the time. And he had just come from the foothills of the Himalayas to Europe. And I remember him saying, whatever this knowledge touches, it makes perfect. And knowledge is when you're shown how to go inside and see that light. You're shown how to go inside and listen to the silence. You're shown how to go inside and taste from behind the pineal gland. Like Jesus said, there's a well within you that never dries. You taste this liquid that flows, and you consciously go within every breath, and you become that breath. And people say, do you meditate? Life becomes your meditation. Mm. Every moment of your life is in that flow.
Mm. Mm. I was about to say, it's some of this we can see in your artwork, the little that I've seen of your art. Can your art be seen actually by the general public someplace?
I think someone tells me I'm having an exhibition.
Having an exhibition?
In the desert soon.
Oh, well, okay, very good.
October 26th, I haven't even seen the gallery.
Well, you're having all kinds of things, actually.
I have my nude drawings, I got my nude photographs, I got my paintings. I love the human form, and I always say if Rembrandt had a camera, his work would be like mine. It would all be in shadow and light, and it would all be about the light.
Interesting.
And the shadow.
Interesting.
Right. Since art school, I was always completely turned on by just the line that the light creates on the human form.
So you've been in this industry for 54 years?
61.
61 years?
No, I came in 61. Oh, I'm not that old.
No, well, that's what I said. I said, you've been...
1961.
Okay. But so you've been doing this for for years, decades.
Yeah.
And did you know, you didn't know this is what you wanted to
no,
do?
No, I was in a rock, I was at art school. I was in a rock and roll band. We used to go down to Soho to the Flamingo. There was Eric Clapton, Stevie Winwood, age 15, Long John Baldry, Joe Cocker, you name it. They're all down there. And I was in a band, and I got a telegram canceling a show on Saturday. And I had met John Danislewski, who was 1 year above me at Chelsea School of Arts. Father was a director, and I'd been to see him in a couple of movies when he left school. And next thing I know, on Monday, I got this letter saying, would I like to be a junior in the art department? And I walked down to the studios and was introduced to Carl Foreman, who had written High Noon and was blacklisted by McCarthy, you know. Mm. And was doing the Victors, and then walked on stage, and there was this magnificent Italian street, Rosanna Scafino, Jean Moreau, Eli Wallach, young George Hamilton, young Jim Mitchum, young Jim Fonda. And then he took me into the art department, and they had all just come off of Lawrence of Arabia. So I was with the best.
Wow.
From the beginning. Then went on to Beckett, Lord Jim.
You had found home.
Found home.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Well, you talk about talking about the longevity of the career, the many things that you've done, and also how so many people these days, especially some of the younger generation, want things immediately. And certainly we can achieve things, certain things faster. Some things do take time. And just really briefly, because I know we really can't talk about it, but just to give an example of that, you have had patience with a film that you actually wrote and we're almost have it produced how many years ago?
Oh, my God. 24 years ago.
24 years ago.
And I put it away. I won't go into that whole story.
Right.
And
it's
then
a great
I had,
story, but yeah.
I won't go into that whole story. It's too complicated. Anyway, so about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I had a meeting at 20th Century Fox. My son's friend happens to be Matt. Happens to be one of the heads of the script department. Mm. And I sent him the mythological fantasy story, which is also a game. I was working on the game 23 years ago when no one was doing games because I wanted to do a game at the same time I was doing the movie.
Mm.
And
you were ahead of your time.
Yeah, so that's still there, ready to go again. And I walked out of the meeting saying, oh, I think I'll turn Ultimately Man into a woman's story, and I've just finished rewriting Ultimately Humanity as a role for a woman, a great actress, and a great female director I'm looking for. I'd like to have Jodie Foster if she loves the script, or maybe even Nicole Kidman's company looking at it.
Well, if you're all listening to the show, they can contact you at your website, alanrjstudios.com, alanrjstudios.com.
Or on Facebook, it's just Alan Roderick Jones.
Alan Roderick. We should spell that, actually. It's R-O-D-E-R-I-C-K.
Hyphen J-O-N-E-S. Okay. It's one of those names, Roderick Jones.
Very good. Well, when we come back, we're going to get to chat a little bit more with Alan Roderick Jones. And a pleasure it has been and continues to be. And also, we're going to have music by Hudson Thames, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, Alan Roderick Jones. It has been a pleasure speaking with him about so many things, and I just want to say he's received so many awards. We're going to talk about one. Well, I'll mention it. He's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award by the Oceanside Film Festival, and one of the that's in a couple, in a week, I think. One of the things that I think is so beautiful is that he's excited about this award, and he's appreciating it. This is the same guy who, oh, by the way, is the recipient of numerous other production awards, including 6 Clio Awards, the Silver Lion at Cannes, and the New York Advertising Award for Excellence in Art Direction. And of course, he already mentioned the Academy Awards. So he's excited about this award, and that's just how real and in the moment and accepting he is. And speaking of real and in the moment, you were telling me, Alan, a story of you were at Comic-Con in Tokyo.
Yes, my my son's friend was working with a company that looked after fans of all ilks, but the fans for Star Wars. And when she found out I did Star Wars, she said, "Would I like to go to Tokyo?" And I said, "Oh, I'd love to go to Tokyo." And then Comic-Con found out I was coming, and when it was my second day, what's the head of Marvel, 94-year-old wonderful man?
Stanley.
Mm-hmm. Was up on stage before me, looking amazing at 94. And then I was told that it was my turn to go up, so I went and stood with all these men who were all dressed up in Star Troopers and Darth Vader, and I had Darth Vader leading me up the stage and 20 stormtroopers behind me, and up on stage were 3 young boys who had won the competitions of their knowledge of Star Wars, and each one of them was going to ask me a question, which they did, and then questions from the audience,
and the last question
was what were my feelings about the Force. So I took a deep little silent inner reflection just to make sure I got this right, you know. And I said, well, I understood what George was thinking about the Force. But we come into this life on the first breath, and we leave on the last breath. But how beautiful to know that why we are here. We truly are the Force within every breath. We truly are all Jedi Knights. And the whole audience, maybe 3,000 people, all got up, Alan San. And then the young man who played Bob Fett, I can't remember his name, Dan, he came on stage with a big bunch of flowers and gave me a mouth-on-mouth kiss.
Okay.
And I stood there with Darth Vader at my side. It was great.
The Force was running strong.
Well, Alan San, what a pleasure that you came and shared your stories, and even more so that you're continuing to bring this force of yours, and what a force, to so many art forms, and we look forward to many more in the many years to come.
Yes, I'm looking forward to just moving ahead, writing. I only recently discovered, you may find this rather naive, that I can talk to my computer. And it writes it all down for me.
Technology. Well, very good. Well, thank you so much, Alan, for being with us. And again, his website, alanrjstudios.com, or on Facebook, Alan Roderick Jones. Well, we have come to that point in the show where we have our Ask Dorothy segment, which so many of us love. But before that, we have a shout out.
Yeah, we have a quick shout out to a great friend of the show, and also the young lady that introduced us to Alan Jones. Doriana Richmond from Stone Symbol Jewelry, a luxury brand of jewelry and accessories inspired by an ancient spiritual symbol. Check them out if you hadn't seen our show. Also, you can go to lifechangesshow.com and listen to the archive, but it's stonesymbol.com. Doriana Richmond, thank you.
Ciao, Doriana.
Dorothy. My name is Maureen, and I am in Kansas. I listen to the news, and I'm very interested in knowing what is true and what is not. How do we know if fake news is really fake? And what does fake news really mean?
Wow. This is an excellent question, Maureen, and I'm grateful to you for asking it. Fake news is just what the name implies. It is not real. However, this opens us up to the question of what does real actually mean? Real is defined as this, actually existing, as a thing or occurring in fact, not imagined or supposed. I believe fake news exists and is therefore real, and yet it is not true. Just recently, there have been many videos by a team of computer scientists showing us how easy it is to manipulate videos to make words come out of the mouth of former President Obama by using artificial intelligence. This new information could make it even more difficult to determine what is real and what isn't. The good news is that the truth is out there. It really is. However, the question is this, what is the real truth? Mainstream media would have us believe that everything has a simple explanation. However, I believe that we can never simply assume we are being told the truth, as there are always two or more sides to every story. For example, we might experience the same event, and yet your truth and my truth could be entirely different. I believe that the internet is the great equalizer, and you can and will find truth if you search for it. However, for this to occur, we must use our God-given gifts of discernment, intuition, intelligence, and common sense, and dig deeper to find out what is really going on. Therefore, before you panic and believe every bad bit of news thrown at you, let's go into a moment of asking our higher selves if it feels true, or is just more manipulation by the ones in control of putting the news out there. I believe that if we search for truth, we can and will find it, as I know more and more truth is finally being revealed.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if any of the listeners have a question, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. That's askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Thank you, Dorothy. And we'll be right back here on the Life Changes Show with Hudson Thames live in just a moment.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Alan. And joining us in the studio is a pop artist and actor, our musical guest, Hudson Thames. Hudson, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. You came in and you shocked us all with a surprise. Can you share with the audience?
Well, we were just discussing a second ago. I kind of jumped in last minute as the musical guest today.
And when your friend wasn't able to make it because he blew his voice. Well, exactly. We won't say who it is.
No, we have more respect than that. But I didn't know, obviously, who the other guest was going to be on the show. And we were just saying Carrie Fisher from Star Wars is actually my aunt. So me sitting in the other room hearing all this stuff is really interesting and really cool.
And I said, well, maybe Aunt Carrie put this together.
You're coming in because
Alan's going to be speaking today.
Yeah, you guys
should
hang out.
I only met her vaguely and vaguely because these guys were so busy. I would just go down to the stage and watch things happening and do things when they were happening. And everyone was in their own space.
Sure, but a big family nevertheless.
Yes.
Well, what an amazing no such thing as a coincidence, right? And so Hudson, actually, we were also really happy to see all that you've done. We enjoyed your music, of course, as we got to know you before actually extending the invitation. And you're some of your stuff is like going viral. How does that feel?
It's been really exciting. It's been a really fun couple of years. My last single was a song. It's called How I Want Ya, and it was a duet with another singer named Hailee Steinfeld,
right?
Also an actress, and that kind of came together kind of randomly as well. Also a family friend wrote the song. We were like, let's do a duet, and ended up doing a lot of really cool stuff for us. And now, about a year or so later, this is I put out like an EP after that, and
right.
This is my second single that I'm touring right now, and just excited to play music.
Now, tell me, am I right? Did I see you acting as a really young child?
So I'm an actor as well. I took the past year and a half or so to really focus on these songs and get them right. But I grew up doing quite a bit of acting.
Like, how old were you when you were little?
I mean, I think the first show I started on, I was about 8.
Because that is you. You're really good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at 8, you were really good.
It was always something that was just fun, you know? At the end of the day, it was just really fun. Like, especially as a kid, just to be able to go and just like play pretend all day. It's a blast.
And so why music now?
Well, music has always been... My father's like a really talented musician. He's a piano player from Mississippi, and that was always in the house. And so I got to the age, like a little bit before I started acting, where I was writing little songs to myself, and I would come to him, and I just wanted to do what he was doing. And, and so we started writing. He would help me write songs, and kind of took on a life of its own, and I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do forever.
So some of your songs actually have a little Mississippi flavor, don't they?
They play. I get a lot of my sauce from him, so it's
okay.
It's got some of that vibe for sure.
Very good. Well, what are we going to get to hear first?
So first, I'm going to play a song off. It's actually off my upcoming EP. It's one of my favorite songs. It's called "People Never Change," and then a little later, I'll play the new single.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what's the upcoming album going to be called?
I can't say yet. I only have this one single out right now.
All right. Okay. Well, you'll have to let us know so we could share with your new fans on the show. But
yes.
Here is Hudson Thame singing "People Never Change" live at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
All right.
True, I'm talking to you. Words they fall like alcohol, and I drink them when I'm through with you. It better be true, no. Strange, I feel it in my veins, 'cause people never change. Stay the same. Heard it all a million times. Now I'm racking my brain every time away and crawling back to faith. I felt this way a million times. Now I'm walking away. And time I never had time. Funny how the story goes. I feel so locked inside of my mind, and it's one of a kind. So say my name and walk away, 'cause people never change. Things they stay the same. Felt this way a thousand times. Now I'm back in my brain. Every type of way, and crawling back to faith. Felt this way a hundred times. Now I'm walking away. But where do I go from here? It's been a crazy way to start my day, but a crazier year, mama, no. Tell me what happens here. You never know how a story goes, so people, baby, people never change. Things, they stay the same. Heard it all a million times, now I'm racking my brain. Every type of way, and crawling back to faith. Heard it all a hundred times, now I'm walking away. People never, people never change.
Wow.
Great.
Hudson Thames and People Never Change. You know, on the Life Changes show, I think we'd like to think that people change, but some of the people
I didn't really plan
met
that one out. I'm like staring at the sign on the wall. Like, the it's not.
We should take a picture of you with the sign.
Yeah.
Great. You your website is Hudson Thames. Let me spell it. HudsonThames.com.
Yes.
HudsonThames.com. That's actually your name, right? That's not a.
Yeah, two rivers, the Thames River, you know, if you live in Europe, and then the Hudson River, obviously.
Right. And but that's what, those are your actual names, or this is a name you
Those are my actual names, yeah.
Yeah.
My parents are out of their damn minds. No. Just
hi,
kidding.
Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hey. just kidding.
Oh, okay. So, actually, I'm going to mention, just because I have it here, you because you're downplaying this, and I don't know why, because you're so good. Well, so you rule the mix in 2011. You were in The Tale of the Princess. What is it, Kaguya?
Yeah, that was actually
2013.
One of the only like animated projects I'd done. It was a voiceover. But
and then Bride Wars in 2009, and now you've done something that's not is still in production, I think, right?
Yeah, there's a couple things which I'm not sure what would be listed.
No, I'm not looking at it.
There's been a few projects I've been working on. I was on Mad Men for a little while, and then I did a show with Reba, which actually is how I kind of segued into getting this new record deal was through Reba.
That's right. Congratulations. That's exciting. A couple years ago, or a year and a half ago?
I was working on a show with her for about a year or so. And
that's Reba McEntire?
Yes, okay. Reba McEntire. And she found like a song that I wrote and I'd put on YouTube, like in my bedroom, and I got to set the next day, and she had written my entire song into the script.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And so it was like...
Good on you, Reba.
Such amazing validation, and then she was next.
But you,
next
you get surprises every time you walk on the set. I mean...
Yeah, no, for sure. There's you never know really what to expect.
Right, and so tell us about the record deal, yeah.
So, yeah, it was a couple years ago. The song with Haley started like... you know, kind of happened right away.
Yeah.
It was a song that I don't do this a lot, but I wrote in mind for someone else. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, this sounds like it'd be good for this person. Mm. And so I just sent it to her. I was like, you got to cut the song. I think you'd sound great on it. And then we ended up making it a duet, and it was my first, like, single that got on the radio and did all that
nice.
For us, which was really, random but awesome.
Nice. And now we know kind of not so random. There's some kind of order out
there.
Yeah,
I mean, is anything really random?
Right? No, like Dorothy's... ask Dorothy, is anything really true, right?
Yeah.
So great. So what are we going to hear? What was that? What was that face?
That was my brain hurts face.
Okay. Mark, you're right. That was a TV moment
that
right there.
That was a TV moment face. For sure. People might not change, but life does change.
Yeah. All right. So what are we going to hear next?
This is a song called LA Models, and this is this song.
Oh, wait. This just came out
on Friday. Yeah, last Friday. So we just had the release party for it, and just kind of getting in kickstart mode for this.
Very cool. And actually, the video just came out yesterday.
This morning.
This morning.
Yeah, the video for it just came out this morning.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you're here.
And now I'm here.
It's live on the Life Changes Show.
Yeah,
this is brilliant.
I have someone to promote it now. It's amazing. It's incredible.
I love your life. This is like, you know, I'd like to promote this song. And, you know, it's too bad people have to get sick to make it happen, yeah. But he's going to be okay.
Life presents those opportunities.
Yes, and here you are. Well, this is exciting. Okay, so I watched the video, and I thought, well, this would be interesting if he chooses this song to sing to that.
Well, you know what?
It's perfect.
It is perfect.
Tell us why.
And well, it's just interesting. It's an amalgamation of. I grew up in, you know, my dad is from the South, but I grew up in Los Angeles, and so. It's just a little bit of a revenge story, a little bit playful, just kind of some fun experiences I've had. But the setup is usually I have these girls that sing the call and response, like doo-wop kind of style background.
Fun.
So the song literally just came out, so we haven't started the radio tour yet. So this is the first time I'm playing it just like this by myself.
Nice. So this is the unplugged version.
This is the unplugged version.
By yourself.
But yeah, you can hear the full version on Spotify and my website and all that.
Yeah, and all over. Again, Hudson Thames, HudsonThames.com. Well, here he is, live for the first time on radio, presenting LA Models on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
Started Sunday drinking rosé with the homies at the Nice Guy, sipping on some bubbly. Ended up with Leo over at the Chateau doing white lines like the Wolf of Wall Street. She called me once, she called me twice. We done this dance about 1,000 times. Draw my label every time just to see a little white lines on me, yeah. Well, I don't know, but baby, I've been told these LA models gonna steal my soul. Drinks get stronger and the nights get old. Tell my mama I ain't coming home. From Monday, I can't say no. Well, I don't know, but baby, I've been told these LA models gonna steal my soul. Dates a lawyer, that's a pretty good employer when you're 18. Yeah, he's older, but it's better than promoters at the Roxy. But at my show, she knows the words in every note, she sings along with me. And drives my table just to try to get a label and some free drinks on me. Well, I don't know, but baby, I've been told these LA models gonna steal my soul. Drinks get stronger and the nights get old. Well, tell my mama I ain't coming home. From Monday to Sunday, I can't say no. Well, I don't know, but baby, I've been told these LA models gonna steal my soul. She's got me down on both my knees. You never seen a better thief. That kiss tastes so liquor sweet. Every time I try to leave, need it like a bad disease. These blue eyes my mama stole. I've never had much self-control, but it takes two to rock and roll. Maybe I'm the weakest, or heaven only knows. I don't know, but baby, I've been told these L.A. models gonna steal my soul. Drinks get stronger and the nights get old. Tell my mama I ain't coming home. From Monday to Sunday, I can't say no, no, no. I don't know, but baby, I've been told these L.A. models gonna steal my soul.
Wow, Hudson Thames.
L.A. Stories.
Yeah, the here we go, L.A. Story.
Yeah, right, in L.A., here you are. Thanks for bringing that flavor to this music. And actually, you bring a lot of interesting stuff. I'm really excited about your career and the music and all of that, because you like to go green where you can. You also ride a Harley.
He's found the vial. It's been found. I mean,
you right? You ride a Harley?
I rode a Harley.
Oh, you rode a Harley. Yeah, you two are gonna need to talk for sure. What were you gonna say, Hudson?
No, I mean it's everything's. There's a spectrum to everything. You know, it's this is a pop song, but I grew up listening to a lot of legendary blues stuff. So if I can sit down and you know jam it out like that, then I'm always happy to.
Yeah, bring that flavor to this. Yeah. Nice. Well, we're so glad you are here.
Thank you. So am I. Thank you for having me.
Happy for you for what you're doing. It's our pleasure. Again, Hudson Thames, HudsonThames.com. And once again, Alan Roderick Jones, what a pleasure it was to have you on and get to know you better. Well, that's our show. And big thank you here to Brent Hahn at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so good.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you to BBS Radio, our program manager there, who, by the way, weighed in and wrote me in the middle of the show. He's great about your music. Awesome. And now he's telling me we love you. Well, we love you too. Douglas Newsom
BBS Radio.
And BBS Radio. I don't know why I'm looking at you. And so on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Legere, I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, reminding you, as your life changes, because it does, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.